Okay, so in our Siddur, we spent a lot of time discussing the essence of tefillah, the essence of prayer. And as a quick review, three services, morning, evening, afternoon. We discussed their origins. We discussed what makes the focal point of each of the services is the what's known as, there are two names to it, either the Shmoneh Esrei, which literally translates as 18, because there are 18 blessings. There are actually 19, but we're Jewish, so we just added another one. Or it's also known as the Amidah. And you will find that in your Ashkenaz, probably on page 101. I have an Ashkenaz with me. Yay. This came from Bernie Fromkin all of a sudden. Sorry, 99. Page 99 in your regular Ashkenaz, not the women's one, not the special one, in the good old-fashioned Ashkenaz. I don't remember what I gave you guys. Again, Brian, did I give, is that, oh, that's, turn it to the side, please, Taryn. Does it say Sephard or Ashkenaz over there?
Sephard.
Oh, so then that would be page 103. Okay, so Brian has the same Sephard, right? 103. No, you have the Ashkenaz? Oh, okay, so then you have 99. Okay.
Sephard is 103.
Sephard should be 103. So that is where we will find the Shmoneh Esrei and the Amidah. So that is the focal point. That is what is recited at each of the three services, morning, afternoon, evening. How long does it take to say? You know, I've been at a service where I daven now in the morning. Don't ask me why, it's for a whole other reason, where the people take about, I'll be polite and say 4 minutes, but I think some people can actually the whole thing off in about 3 minutes. And then the other day on Sunday, I took some of my family came in. We went to the yeshiva, and they said it in about 9 minutes. That's a very big difference. And you're standing there, big difference standing there for 3 minutes or standing there for 9 minutes. So one place, you know, people guys got to get to work. Let's move it. And the other place is sitting and learning all day. There's no rush. Take their time. Not being judgmental. Each one has its merits. That's not for now. Each one should take whatever length of time you feel you need to be able to connect. So that's the focal point. The shachris, again, this is just a review. The morning services comes also with, we say the Shema. We say the Shema during the daytime, say Shema at nighttime. And then the afternoon service, the Mincha service, and the evening ones are the shorter services. But again, we discussed what each one should take, they should think about what to say for themselves, should pray on their own, even in the morning. One, just you know, little bits to say. So I'd like to familiarize people a little bit with the Shmoneh Esrei or the Amidah. So on page either in the Sefer 103 or 99, hopefully everybody has their Siddur open to wherever the beginning of your Shmoneh Esrei is, whatever page or whatever Siddur you may have. And in the notes, let's see the notes, the little levels right beneath the bold words from Amidah. Moses advanced through three levels of holiness when he went up to Mount Sinai. Therefore, we take three steps forward as we approach God in the Shmoneh Esrei prayer. So actually, what I'd like to do is I see it's sort of the same in both. On page either 102 or 98, Svaradhanana, there's beneath the line. I'm going to read through a little bit some of the explanation that we have beneath the line. Brenda, welcome. We're just going through a little primer on prayer and talking about the Shmone Esrei, the Amidah. If you have an Art Scroll Sidur, then you can follow along. If you don't, Brenda, then, I'm just going to read it out loud. Okay? So he says as follows. This is just a little bit of an introduction of the Shmone Esrei. It says, the Talmud refers to Shmone Esrei simply as tefillah. And you may have heard that word, tefillah, which is the prayer. For it is only in Shmone Esrei that we formulate our needs and ask God to fulfill them. This is the prayer. I mean, we can pray and pray and pray and pray, but everything is focused on the Shmone Esrei. This is during these 18 blessings. We'll see there's 19. During these 18 blessings, or the Shmone Esrei, like I said, 19 blessings, is where we actually make requests from Hashem for what I need, for my needs. And he continues, and he says at the bottom, beneath the line, the three Shmone Esrei prayers of the day were instituted by the patriarchs. We discussed this already. And they're in place of the daily temple offerings. We discussed this already in previous weeks. The term Shmone Esrei means 18. And indeed, the original Shmone Esrei consisted of only 18 blessings. The requirement that there be precisely 18 is based on various scriptural supports. Not getting into that now. The text of the individual blessings was composed by the men of the Great Assembly. We talked about this already about 2,000 years ago at the beginning of the Second Temple period and was put into its final form under Rabbi Gamliel II after the destruction over four centuries later. A 19th blessing, that's why I keep sometimes referring to it as 19, a 19th blessing was added later. But the name Shmone Esrei was left unchanged. In other words, we still call it the 18 blessings, even though there are 19. The Zohar refers to the Shmone Esrei as the Amidah, the standing prayer, and the two names are synonymous. They're used interchangeably. Each one, Denise, I'll get to you in a second. So, actually, you know what? Go ahead now. Why don't you, yes, Denise.
Do women say these prayers as well, or just the men?
Women can say them as well. We discussed that men are really more required to pray. Women are not obligated to pray. And we discussed that the reason is because typically, women are not obligated in any mitzvah that is time-bound. So let's say, for example, shaking a lulav and an etrog. Women don't have to. You're more than welcome to, and you can make a blessing on it. No problem. But it's a time-bound commandment. And there are many time-bound commandments that women are, even sitting in the sukkah. Women do not have to sit. Hey, it's cold out here. Guys, you got to sit out there. And the guys will have to sit out in the sukkah. The women do not have to sit in the sukkah. It's a time.
So when you say you pray for your needs, would you also be praying for Bela's needs? Or would
Bela, so we'll get to pray? Let's one step at a time here. So let's continue on in where we are beneath the line. The Shmone Esrei has three sections. In the first three blessings, the supplicant pays homage to God, like a slave praising his master before he dares make a request. The second, the middle section of the 13, originally 12, contains the actual supplicant's request. What are you asking for? And C, in the last three blessings, he takes leave, expressing gratitude and confidence in his master's graciousness. And then just adds that even the middle section is not merely a catalog of selfish requests. In each blessing, we first acknowledge God's mastery and only then make the request. Fine. So basically, and you should know, as I teach English as well, and if you formulate a request, you formulate a letter, you want a raise at work, then a person should always follow this three-part beginning, middle, and end idea. Beginning is you should always, hello, how are you doing? Good to see you. Like there's a beginning, an intro. The middle part of the body, so to say, of your letter is what it is, why it is you're writing this letter. What's your request? Like what? And the third is like, hopefully I'll get an answer soon, or we'll see each other soon, or whatever the ending is. So the Shmoneh Esrei was formulated in a way very similar to the way we would make regular requests, and we would write regular letters of requests in from each other. And I think you will find, well, today people don't write letters like they used to anymore. That's besides the point. But in the days when they did, this is the way and the proper way letters should be written. So again, the first three blessings of the 19 are, we'll see here. So we'll see on page 103. So now let's go. So we talked about in our little on top, back to on top of the line, right under the words Shmoneh Esrei Amida, it says that we go forward three steps. So basically, I'm going to use my hands, showing my hands as my feet, so that I can tell you how it goes. So basically, feet are together, stand with feet together. The first thing is really to go back three steps, and then to go forward. Now, the going back three steps is not as important as going forward three steps, but usually if you start in a certain spot, then you go back three steps, meaning that I'm now getting ready to go forward, then I'll go back forward, my forward three steps with my feet together. I'm happy if I have my feet a little bit apart, whatever. So we go back, not whole big steps, wide steps, like your walking steps, but just basically your shoe size. So basically, you know, one, then you come together. So the reason for it is because that is a humble approach. I'm approaching the king of the world. So I go move up three steps. And I mentioned that we put, now let's see what it says back in the instructions. Remain standing with the feet together while reciting Shmoneh Esrei. It should be, let me deal with that first. Why? Why do I keep my feet together? So there are a number of reasons of keeping feet together. Number one is that by having my feet together, it means that I'm not involved in, I'm not walking around, I'm not pacing, I'm whatever. I'm stuck in my spot, which means that I'm dedicated to this spot for the length of time that I will be saying whatever part I'm going to be saying of the Shmoneh Esrei. Number two, let me let you in on a secret. Angels only have one foot. Angels only have one foot. They sort of come together. So we mimic, in a way, the angelic-like feature of keeping our feet together. So again, just to bring us, hopefully, it connotes that I now have to do something a little bit beyond that of my normal human type nature. Again, the whole idea is just to, you know, let's say, like, we come to class now. And similar, I guess, when you go to shul. Like, when you come to class, I ask people, can you be visible on your screen as opposed to being off screen? Can you have eaten your dinner before, have your cell phones on the side, your TV off, your radio off? Is he coming to class? I know we're on Zoom, so it makes it easier. Obviously, that was cute. Last Wednesday, we had a big group at my home for the Wednesday class. By the way, tomorrow night is live. We'll have a live class as well tomorrow because Thursday there's no class. And it was great. And one of the things that you couldn't do when you were at my house last week is you couldn't, sorry, Rabbi, I'm not available right now. I'm going to be eating. You know, it's like, good. I go, yay. And that this is one of those things about being live. So I ask that people mimic on Zoom. And the same is true when we dive in the Shemoneh Esrei. I'm going in front of the King of the Universe. You know, put your cell phone away. I did it last week, right? I sort of played the role. I'm in the middle of praying and swaying. Yeah, God, help me with my health. God, just one second, please. It's my doctor calling. I know I'm asking you for help, but it's my doctor calling. So I'll get back to you in a minute. Yes, doctor. How, doctor, we don't do that. I'm praying for Hashem. Can you please help me? I need a job. Oh, I'm in the middle of praying. God, hang on just one second. They're calling me back from my resume. I'd love to come in next Tuesday for. Can't do that to Hashem. So when we go back three steps and move forward three steps, when we keep our feet together, the idea is for me, talk about me, to recognize that now is a special time. Now is my God time. Nobody gets in the way of my God time. And actually, a lot of laws is that during the time where a person is saying this Shemoneh Esrei, a person should not answer to any other, somebody calls you, whatever. Okay, that's not for now. But let's just... Basic. So he says in our instructions, remain standing with the feet together while reciting Shemoneh Esrei. Rabbi, I have a question, because nobody asked me a question. You're allowed to ask questions, by the way. Everyone's welcome to ask questions. Yeah, I have a question. What's the question? Yes, question. What if I'm traveling and I can't stand up? I'm in an airplane and I have to pray right now. Or I'm traveling in a car and, you know, we're not stopping at a rest stop until da, 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 da. So the short answer is yes, you can pray while sitting, although, you know, those are exceptions to the rule. Optimally, a person should stand. Oh, Rabbi, I have difficulty standing for longer than 30 seconds at a time, or I can't stand, right? You know, Arthur is very open. Arthur, who has in our group, does not have use of his legs, and he doesn't stand. No, he would sit for the silent prayer for the Shemoneh Esrei. So in other words, remain standing when able, with the feet together while reciting Shemoneh Esrei. It should be recited with quiet devotion and without any interruption, verbal or otherwise. Meaning, don't... Actually, somebody just rang my doorbell. So it's like, can you go get the doorbell? It happened in our class when I would send Baruch to the door, right? Somebody who was coming in. So in the middle of our class, I might, you know, but that's in the middle of class. But in the middle of me talking to God, I shouldn't be motioning to someone, hey, where's the ketchup? Oh, because he didn't put the ketchup back in the fridge. So that's not where the ketchup is. That's not where we are. Not during Shemoneh Esrei. Although it should not be audible to others, one must pray loudly enough to hear himself. Okay? And those are the basic instructions. And that's it. You don't pray loudly. Oh, God. You don't play loud. And it's not that we're just scanning or just, you know, like, it should be audible. So for example, and this way, just loud enough that you can hear yourself. If you're in a synagogue where there are other people, if everybody would be audible, it would be too loud. It would take away from the concentration. I remember, I think I told the story here, that about, I can't remember, it was 14 years ago or 21, I think it was 14 years ago or 21 years ago at the Siyum HaShas, at the grand finale of finishing the entire Talmud, which took place in the Rico Coliseum that year. I don't think, yeah, Sandy was not there at the Rico Coliseum. We had one at the, over, there were like 4,000 or 5,000 of us. We packed the place.
The O'Keefe turned into the Sony. Remember? No,
yeah, that's where you were. Yeah, that's where you were. But we were, before that, we were in in the Rico, which today is called Coca-Cola Coliseum.
Okay.
And I remember the workers telling, because you know, there's a whole program for hours and hours. There's a program. All of a sudden we came to daven the evening sur Ma'ariv. And the place, and when it came to, you know, Shema Yisrael, everybody says, Allah, Shema Yisrael, like we say out loud. But when it comes to the Shmoneh Esrei, this year it says, and it should be, it should not be audible. The place goes silent for about 6 minutes, 7 minutes, until people started finishing their, and it was just an amazing sense, just silence. You know, sometimes you have a place that'll have a moment. Can we have, let's say at a hockey game, somebody passes away. Some great hockey player or whatever, if you're at a football. I say hockey only because hockey is more an enclosed arena. Like some of these other ones are footballs and an open, it may not have the same, you have outside noise, a plane flying, whatever. But you're in a closed arena. And then somebody would have a moment of silence. So even then you might have somebody, hey, you know, look, you schmooze a little this like that, you know, some kids maybe making some noise, whatever. It might, and that, how long is that moment of silence for? 30 seconds, 60 seconds? Here we're talking about 5-6 minutes. Silence. A beautiful thing. Anyway. So, any questions? Any other questions so far? Doing good? Okay. So now, we're quiet, and we're going to read to ourselves. So let's say, for example, on the Sephard page 103, or the what's it called? In the Ashkenazim page 99, blessed are you, Hashem, our God, and the God of our forefathers. So now, beneath the line, every time you see an asterisk, you can look beneath the line to get a little bit of, of additional explanation of what it's talking about. And it'll tell us beneath the line. Where it says patriarchs. The first blessing of Shemoneh Esrei is known as Avot or patriarchs because it recalls the greatness of our forefathers in whose merit God's pledge to help Israel throughout history, even if we are unworthy. Hashem told our forefathers, our patriarchs and matriarchs, that in their merit, Hashem will always listen to our prayer. And that's why we say, no prayer goes unanswered. A person really prays from the depths of their heart, no prayer goes unanswered. So, we begin with a section on remembering the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, Yitzhak, the God of Jacob, Yaakov, and the first section. And you might see, you'll see up on top, above the blessing, it'll say the word patriarchs, because before each of the 18/19 blessings, it'll tell you what the focus of each blessing is. So the focus of blessing number one, as we see, is patriarchs. In the Sephard, I'm turning my page to go to 105. In the Ashkenaz, it's at the bottom of 99, above the line, where the second blessing is God's might. The third blessing, I'm turning the page in the Sephard, it is the top of 107. In the Ashkenaz, turning the page, it is on the top of 103. And it will say the words, holiness of God's name. So these three constitute, as we said before, the first three sections of the Shemoneh Esrei: patriarchs, God's might, and the holiness of God's name. That's our introduction. And these three blessings are the same three blessings for every single Amidah throughout the year. It doesn't matter if it's Rosh Hashanah, might be a word or two changed here or there, different times of the year, there might be a slight little change that's made. But basically, this is the way we begin our supplication. Hashem, I'm here to make my request from you. It begins with these three blessings. Where do I come from? And what am I doing here? I'm here because I'm the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And you promised them you're going to listen to our prayers. Great. And next, I have to recognize, sort of like step two in the program, which is made a decision. Came to believe that a power greater than myself, and which is blessing number two, which is Hashem's might, that a power greater than myself. And number three, and the third blessing is the holiness of God's name, the holiness of Hashem's name. Okay. Any questions so far? Now, on the weekday, Shemoneh Esrei. Let me just say it this way. So these first three blessings, as I mentioned, the same as the whole year. The last three blessings, which we'll get to, are also the same the whole year. The only difference becomes the body, this middle section, which we are now at in the Sephard on page 107, in the Ashkenaz on page 103. Blessing number four says insight. So here's where we ask Hashem. It begins with, you, meaning Hashem, graciously endow man with knowledge and teach insight to a frail mortal. Endow us, and here's our request, endow us graciously from yourself with wisdom, insight, and knowledge. Again, the words might be a little bit different, Sephard or Ashkenaz. In the Ashkenaz, you may have the word discernment. And this is a blessing to recognize. When we talk about insight, we talk about Hashem, wake me up. This is what makes me different than an animal. An animal does not, it's the first blessing that we have here in our in the request phase section. If I'm an animal, I have no insight. I just have instinct and I go on and I do and I act and I, you know, that's my life. Just an animal. A human has intellect. This is where we ask Hashem for intellect. Endow us graciously from yourself with wisdom, insight, and knowledge or discernment, whatever. And that is, we're asking Hashem that I want to make sure that I'm human. I want to make sure, please help me make sure that I'm thinking, that there's insight, what is it that I'm doing? Yeah, we talk about so often, looking around, we're all members of family of Bill W, of the program. So we talk so often that what a person is going to use, very often what happens is they're just not thinking anymore. There's no insight. It's like by rote. And it went, hey, how did I end up over here? How did I end up in the LCBO? How did I end up at the casino? I don't even remember driving here. I took my car. Did I get a ride? Did I come by bus? I don't know, whatever. Whatever everyone's drug of choice is. So the blessing of insight is really a request. And you can formulate it for yourself. But we say the words, you graciously endow man with knowledge and teach insight to a frail mortal. Endow us graciously from yourself with. We're asking Hashem to be able to have knowledge, to be able to act as human beings, so that I can think and act like a human being in a way that's thoughtful, not just, you know, I'm not even thinking what I'm doing. I'm acting by rote. Okay. Questions, comments? Quiet group so far. Okay, that's blessing number one of the body. Blessing number two, which in the Sephard is on page top of page 109, continuing sort of the middle, and the Ashkenaz in the middle of 103. The next section, the next blessing, I should say, is repentance. And I'm going to ask Hashem, bring us back, our Father, to your Torah, and bring us near our King. Okay, so I'm not going to go through all the blessings. That's not what I wanted to do today. What I want to do today is just we'll just look at the titles, the subtitles, I should say, of each of the blessings. And then you'll see, and I'll just talk about what it's talking about. So this one is about repentance, that Hashem should bring us back to our connection with Hashem, that I want to be connected with God. The next one, and you, by the way, if I see a hand up, I'll try and stop, and you can ask a question at any time. The next section, the next blessing, I should say, is redemption. Again, now I'm in the Sephard in the middle of 109, continuing on a 103 in the Ashkenaz. The bottom one in the Ashkenaz. Redemption, where we ask Hashem to redeem the Jewish people from our exile. Yes, Stephanie.
Is there a section where you can ask for something personal?
Yeah, we'll get there. You'll see. Let's get there. 109. So in the Sephard, now we'll turn to top of 111, and in the Ashkenaz 105. We're skipping the gray boxes. We're not doing any of the gray boxes. The gray boxes, it will tell you, you know what. Now, so this one is for health and healing. A person is sick, then this is where you pray that Hashem should heal the sick. And there's even a spot where you can pray for specific names. And again, that'll be in the gray box, not getting into that, but know that here's the prayer when you want to pray for someone who's sick. The next one is a year of prosperity. So for livelihood, I'm asking Hashem, the one who, you know, the one who directs the world, that I should have prosperity. The next one, which is at the bottom of 111 and in the Ashkenaz, now turning to 107, is the ingathering of the exiles, which means, and that's, we see that actually actively happening before our eyes. We ask Hashem to bring the Jews back from the four corners of the earth. That's what it says in the blessing, from the four corners of the earth back to Israel. And we see that happening in our days in front of just a sentence in Israel. And the population in Israel is just like busting through the seams. It's really, really, you think there's a lot of construction going on in Toronto? Look at what's going on in Israel and the various, in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and Haifa and all, in the Shomron, you name it. They're it's unbelievable. And people are making aliyah and moving back to Israel. And Jews just coming out of the woodwork. Jews are just popping up from all over the place. So that's the blessing we ask Hashem for, the ingathering of the exiles. Next, and the Sephard, that turn the page to the top of 113, continuing on in 107 in the Ashkenaz, restoration of justice. And that refers to that when in the old days, there was the big court of the Jewish people, 71 judges. That was the big court. That's a big court. There is no court on the planet with 71 judges. So these were all members, people who were of extreme stature. Not getting into that now. And we don't have that anymore. And they would rule on the most pressing matters. We don't have that anymore. Since the destruction of the temple, We lost that. So we ask Hashem to the merit to be able to have that restoration of justice back in our times. Okay, everybody good? Next is against, this is the blessing, one that's subtitled Against Heretics. This is the one that the blessing number 19, this blessing was not in the original. So this one we'll just talk a little bit more about. And if you take a look beneath the line in the Sephard on page 112 and in the Ashkenaz on 106, at the right column, the beneath the line on the right, against heretics, and he says as follows, against slanders. Chronologically, this is the 19th blessing of the Shemoneh Esrei. It was instituted in Yavna, in Israel, during the tenure of Rabbi Gamliel II as Nasi of Israel, sometime after the destruction of the Second Temple. The blessing was composed in response to the threats of such heretical Jewish sects as Sadducees, and both, whatever, however you pronounce them, and the early Christians. They tried to lead the Jews astray through example and persuasion, and they used their political power to oppress observant Jews and to slander them to the anti-Semitic Roman government. So this was really a blessing against Jews. These Sadducees and Bethusians and the early Christians, the early Christians were Jews. And they were trying to get the ones, the Jews who tried to stay true to their Judaism, to turn away from the Judaism. So, as I say so often, if you need to sin, and every so often, you know, people sin, people relapse, whatever it is that they do, people sin. If you sin, it's your business. It's between you and God. I'm not here to judge anybody, but I will judge you. I will judge you if you bring somebody else down with you. You got a desire, you need to go to a place that, you know, shouldn't be going to, or do something, an act that you shouldn't be doing. You got to satisfy your own desires. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm saying if you need to do that, do it alone. Don't bring anybody down with you. In Hebrew, it's known as a chote umachti, a sinner and somebody who causes others to sin. Typically, a person would not cause others to sin unless they're sinning themselves. Typically. Usually a person sins and, you know, misery likes company. And there were many who bring others down with them. So this blessing was created to ask Hashem to rid the Jewish people of those who bring us down. To me, there's a certain respect to the one who sins but doesn't bring anybody else down with them. You got to go to whatever place that inappropriate places, inappropriate sexual acts or whatever it is, do it in your own place. Don't bring anyone down with you. That was this blessing that was added later. Okay. Now, continuing on, in the Sephard, in the middle of page 113, in the Ashkenaz, the bottom one on 107, the righteous. Now, the next one is a blessing for the righteous. Just Hashem should give the just reward to the righteous. If you want to know why we need to ask, and that we should be included among the righteous. That Hashem should reward the righteous properly. Why do we need to ask that Hashem should reward the righteous properly, look beneath the line. Not getting into that now. You can look it up yourself. I'm trying to tell you what you can't see yourself. And we ask Hashem to include us among the righteous. I don't want to be like the people before, the heretics. I want to be included among the righteous. Next blessing on the Sfard, the bottom of 113, and in the Ashkenaz, the top of 109. And that is rebuilding Jerusalem. We ask Hashem to rebuild our city, Jerusalem. Our city, Jerusalem, it may seem rebuilt. Oh, there's so much construction going on in Jerusalem. It's not the rebuild that we're talking about. We're talking about rebuilding Jerusalem so that we can have the temple in Jerusalem, the true city of Jerusalem. Next, in the Sefer, we turn to the top of page 115. In the Ashkenaz, continuing in the middle of 109, is the Davidic reign. And we ask Hashem, basically for Mashiach. This is where we ask that the offspring of your servant David, and which is that the Messiah, the Jewish Mashiach, comes from the house of David. So we ask Hashem to bring Mashiach. It is not something that is uniquely Chabad. You know, Chabad very often talks about, you know, Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. Every Jew, it's in every prayer, three times a day, every prayer. Next is acceptance of prayer. Now, this acceptance of prayer, this is what Stephanie was asking before. If there's a person who would like to add any of their own personal, we're not finished yet, but anything specific that you'd like to add as your own request, there's an area here in this blessing of acceptance of prayer towards the end. In the Sephard, it's right above the gray box, the last line actually before the gray box. Be gracious with us, answer us, and hear our prayers. Before continuing on to the top of 117, continuing on with that in the Sephard, that's where you can add your supplications in your other requests. And in the Ashkenaz, yeah, it's basically right there as well. It's also 109. It's just a different page number. Right above the gray boxes or above the line, right at the end of that line, do not empty away empty-handed. Ask your request. Add whatever it is that you'd like to add in the Shmoneh Esrei. Next, page one in the Sephard, 117, in Ashkenaz 111. The next one is temple service. We ask Hashem to restore, we ask Hashem to rebuild Jerusalem, and now to restore the service in the temple with all the splendor that took place in the times of the temple, where we had the Kohanim and doing the service, and the Levites would play music and sing and the sacrifices that were brought, beautiful, beautiful, and that is the temple service. And the prayer at the bottom of 117, which finishes the blessing, or 111, is may our eyes behold Hashem, your return to Tzion in compassion. And that's what we want, that we should merit to see our eyes behold. We should merit to see the redemption. Now, after this, I should say from here. So this here from temple service begins the last segment, the last three. As I mentioned, remember we had the first three that's the same for every Shmoneh Esrei. This beginning from temple service is number one of the last three. Then you have in the Sephard on page 119, top of 119, in the Ashkenaz top of 113, it's Thanksgiving. We thank Hashem. And the prayer that's at the top on the left, not in the gray box, but on the left of the page, we gratefully thank you. That is such a beautiful, beautiful prayer. It is so beautiful, I'm going to read it out loud. We gratefully thank you, for it is you who are Hashem, our God, and the God of our forefathers for all eternity, our rock, and the rock of our lives. Again, star, you can look at the bottom. Shield, our salvation. Again, that's a proper noun. And are you from generation to generation? We shall thank you and relate your praise for our lives, which are committed to your power, and our souls that are entrusted to you, for your miracles that are with us every day, and for your wonders and favors in every season, evening, morning, and afternoon. The beneficent one, for your compassions were never exhausted, and the compassionate one, for your kindness never ended. We have always put our hope in you. An absolutely beautiful, beautiful prayer of thanksgiving to Hashem. I know in Canada and United States, you know, they have Thanksgiving one day a year. We say this 3 times a day. Okay? I'm almost done, then I'll open it up for questions and comments. Then this blessing of thanksgiving goes, that's number 2 of the final 3. And the very last blessing in the Sefarad is on page 123. In the Ashkenaz, it is on the top of 117. And it is the blessing of peace. Sim Shalom. We ask Hashem for peace, to bring peace among the world. And then there's some just basic instructions. Again, when a person finishes the Shemoneh Esrei, when you finish your prayer, you should, even if you didn't say the whole thing, because you're just learning it, whatever. Like I said, when you start, you go back 3 steps and forward 3 steps to come into the Shemoneh Esrei. We will end the same way. We will back up 3 steps. And when we back up 3 steps, we should remain there for a few seconds and then go return to our spot. Because it's not like, okay, I finished, I'm out of here, God, see you. Like some people, you come here, and they come here to the meetings, and it's very nice, and we schmooze afterwards. Some people leave right away. Now, if you have to leave right away, you have to leave right away. But sometimes people just, you know, we stick around and we schmooze, as opposed to, oh, I can't wait for the class to be over. I'm out of here. That's what it would seem like if a person, as soon as you finish your prayer, back 3, back up 3, goodbye. I'm out. Car, engine, start your engines. You know, I got to get to. So go back. Benachas, with a confidence that Hashem has accepted my prayer. So not running away. So when you finish the Shemoneh Esrei, again, back up 3 steps, go back up 3 steps. And that, my friends, is the focal point, the Shemoneh Esrei, aka Amidah, the 18/19 blessings. Told you which one was the added one. And that is our prayer to Hashem. And that's where we can, and where the point in the prayer, where we can add names to pray for those who are sick, and also a place to add our own personal requests to Hashem. And with that, I will open it up to questions and comments. Yes, Stephanie.
I think it's also maybe important to mention that when we take 3 steps back and 3 steps forward and start to pray, that we bend our knees at Blessed and bow you and straighten up at Hashem each time we say it.
Okay, so all I'm going to say, Stephanie, is that that's not entirely true, because there's only a few places where we do that at some of the blessings. And for the, just follow, the art scroll is really good, and all the instructions that you need to get through it is listed in the art scroll Sidur, where you would bend your knees, which ones, and it's only happens 4 times in total out of the 19. So just follow instructions. I know sometimes people aren't so good at following instructions, but we try and follow instructions. And throughout, you'll see in the smaller, in between the blessings, every so often, you might get some instructions. So that's what I'm saying. Every week, everyone should maybe glance, learn a little bit to yourself, take a few minutes. Maybe 1 week you focus on one blessing, the next week or the next month, whatever, you focus on another blessing and look at some of the instructions. You have questions, you can look beneath the line. If there are asterisks, then maybe there's something that sounds a little off to you. Then, you know, if you see an asterisk there, it will indicate that there's a little note beneath the line. And if you have any additional questions, there's always a Tuesday Ask the Rabbi session. Anyone else? One other thing I'm going to mention. When we learn, we come together as a group. To me, it's a prayer. When I go to a class, not mine, I go outside to a meeting. After the meeting, depending on what it is, sometimes I will say the word Amen. It is such a blessing to be together and to learn together. I'm telling you, one day after 120, one day, that day will arrive. You will see how worth it was to be here, to the point where you will be disappointed that you didn't come more often because of the mitzvah that it is to be here and learn Torah. First of all, it means, as we talk about so often, that you didn't do anything wrong in the last hour. I'm good. You see the last hour? No Lashon Hara, no other crazy whatever it is. Now, bonus is we learn Hashem's Torah. We get a mitzvah. We get approximately, that's why I try and say a lot of words, approximately 200 mitzvahs a minute. Times that by 60. So that's how many angels each of us, even though you didn't say anything, even though all of you were silent for the most part. Thank you, Stephanie, for at least asking some questions. Thank you. We all get a mitzvah because we all participated. So special to be here. This is part of our prayer. And with that, I say Amen. Thank you all for joining. Wishing you all a great evening. Hopefully we'll see Amen. You tomorrow.
Hi, Taryn. Nice to see you.
We'll be on Zoom as well.
But nice to see Arlene the Traveler.